Welcome to Life in the Intersection, the podcast, where we discuss parenting, self-care, body positivity, mental health, life in the LGBTQ community, and so much more. This is episode number 2, where we're going to discuss what self-care is and what self-care isn't. Thanks for joining us. Self-care is defined as the care of self without medical or professional consultation or oversight. I think this is a great place to start because part of the reason that we are able to provide self-care without medical oversight, without a doctor or a counselor necessarily overseeing that process, is because we already know how to do it. In our DNA, from when we were born as babies, we have known how to take care of ourselves. But what has happened over time, just like our confidence, we are born confident babies full of self-love and devotion and passion and all of those things, and it's a huge amount of confidence. But as we grow, society and life tends to kick it out of us a little bit. And so what happens is it's the same with self-care. We know when we are babies, we know exactly what we need. We know when to cry because we need our clothes changed. We know when to cry out for the physical affection and snuggles we need. We know how to cry out for, when mom's on the phone and you want to play with it. You know how, when you are a baby and a toddler, how to get your needs met, including all of your social and emotional needs. You just do it. You don't even think about it. And so that is in you. It is in your DNA to take care of you. It is in the core of every cell in your body. And you know how to do that. We just have to get back to it. We just have to get the garbage out of the way and get back to how do we help ourselves to be the best that we can be. And that is self-care. And so there's a lot of talk lately. Self-care has become rather trendy. And I always think that that's a double-edged sword. It's positive because then the resources are plentiful. Books, articles, podcasts, TV shows, YouTube videos. Everybody sort of jumps on that bandwagon when something is topical. And it's not a negative thing, though the bandwagon idea may seem negative. I think it's really positive because it brings it to the forefront and we discuss it. But what ends up happening also is then, you know, if we have, say, 10,000 websites about a topic that has become trendy and topical, you know, probably a good 8,000 of them are all going to be the same thing regurgitated. And it's hard to find the stuff that is meaningful. And with self-care, a lot of the articles that I've read and a lot of the things that people are repeating and sharing, which is great, are really simple things. And I think it's giving people the wrong impression of what self-care is. So we're going to talk today about what self-care is and what self-care isn't. A lot of what you hear repeated are things like self-care is having a bubble bath with a glass of wine and a good book. Self-care is indulgence. Self-care is spoiling yourself. Now, spoiling is a negative word we use often to talk about spoiling babies, which is not possible. But those kind of ideas about indulgence. And those things are self-care. They can be. They can be the core of your self-care. However, if that's where your self-care begins and ends, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Now, I love a bubble bath more than most people. Don't get me wrong. So I'm not saying those things are not valid and don't have their place. But if you don't take it to the next level, you're missing out. And by that, I mean self-care can also be holding yourself accountable. It can be taking chances. It can be getting in touch with what your values are and living within them. Because I know that self-care is what fills me up and it gives me something to give back to the world. And so part of what I do with my self-care is going, okay, where in my life are things being pulled away from me? What is draining me in my life? And a lot of my self-care can be going there, thinking about that and going to that area of my life and making some changes. And it's about setting boundaries for myself out of respect for myself and love and care for myself. And so self-care can be that piece too. It can be setting boundaries. It can be holding yourself accountable. For example, I know for me that having a kitchen that is not tidy really puts me in a negative mindset and my inner critic gets really loud. So self-care to help avoid that whole negative loop for me is pushing myself to do the tidying of the kitchen, which let me tell you, cleaning is my least favorite activity ever. So it would seem ironic that it would be considered self-care, because if you look at what most of the world is saying self-care is it's the indulgence of sitting down and having a glass of wine or eating chocolates or those kind of, you know, bubble bath and just relaxing ideas. But if we take it that step further, there's huge value in that. And so when I do the job of tidying my kitchen or laying out my medication for the week or laying out my son's and my clothes the night before so that in the morning the routine is simpler and easier and he can be more independent. When I do those things, I'm really setting myself up to be successful. And that is a huge piece of my self-care. And so I would challenge you to think about that, is what are those areas of your life where you tend to bang yourself up against a wall, where you end up where that inner critic gets loud in your head? And for me, self-care is looking at those, can be part of my self-care, is looking at those areas where my inner critic gets going and figuring out how to beat them to the punch, how to nip it in the bud right off the bat. And so that's part of it. Sometimes the self-care is just speaking to myself with kindness and compassion. And I shouldn't say just, because that is a huge task and one that can be really difficult for people. It's taken me a long time to work through loving and caring for myself in such a way that I can do that. But it's worth it. Self-care really also is looking at, how do I take care of my body in a way that is in keeping with what I know my body needs to be functioning at its best? Self-care is not going on a diet. Now, my feelings on diets will come up in a later episode, but I do want to say right here off the bat that my world is a diet-free zone. And that I don't participate in diet culture. I don't participate in diet conversation. It has done too much damage in my life and in the lives of people around me that I don't participate in it. And so sometimes people go, oh, my self-care is, getting back on my diet, because then I feel better about myself. Self-care isn't always about what you think are the things that build your self-esteem and confidence. It's just asking, what do I need to do, or what do I need to have in my life to really build myself up to be able to function at my very best? And so that can be a challenge. It can be a challenge. And for me, a piece of my self-care that has been instrumental has been rejecting diet culture. It has been exploring the ideas of being healthy at any and every size, about the idea of loving my body at this moment as it is at this second. Self-care has been about reading books, finding books that fill me up in a way where I'm learning about some things that help me in my journey. another huge piece of my self-care, and I've written about this on the blog, has been curating my social media. So for me, after the US election, I'm a news junkie. I was a political science major at one time. So as a news junkie, I deeply love the news. And so my social media feeds, where all the major news organizations, reporters I love, journalists, all kinds of thought-provoking humans, the wisest minds of our time. However, as you can imagine, if you come home from work, and I'm working a helping profession, so all I do all day is give. When I come home, the last thing I want to do is sit and look at a social media feed of negativity and of things that drain me. And I love social media. So it was like this crux of being hooked into wanting to come home. And that's part of my relaxation and my self-care is checking in with the world like that. Because I love it. And it was just draining me. And so I had to get smart about that. And I had to go, okay, wait a minute. This is not okay. This is taking from me when it really should be filling me up. And so I went through my social media and I unfollowed or deleted or unfriended every account that made me feel bad, that didn't make me feel hopeful, that did not make me feel encouraged. My social media needed to be a place where I experienced compassion and encouragement and hope and diversity. Representation is so huge. And if you identify as any identity that has been marginalized, it is important for you to be able to see yourself or parts of yourself represented in the media. And it is the same with your social media. And so it was important to me to stop seeing only thin, white women who look like they were suburban housewives. Now, if you are a thin suburban housewife, fabulous for you. And I welcome you here because my belief is all bodies as they are, all genders, all sexual orientations, all family structures, all abilities, all races have a place at this table. And it is only valuable if everybody comes to the table. But the thing is that it's really important that everybody feel like their voice will be heard at the table. And when you don't see anybody else like you at the table, you think, well, this isn't my place. This isn't where I should be speaking up. So I needed to adjust what the faces around the table of my life look like. And so I did that with my social media. And I made sure I followed people where I could see different abilities, different body sizes, different body types, different cultures, different... All of those different things were really important to me. So one of the amazing things that happened when I did this was I didn't think much of it in the beginning. I sort of hit this rock wall of like, oh, I just can't take any more of it. And so but what I noticed after I had done it and I started to make sure I was following people that were keeping in values of what my vision for the world is. How I vision the world is I vision it at a valuable place where people are valued and all bodies and all ability levels and all cultures and all orientations and gender identities have valuable voices. And so the one way I could do that is I could amplify that by having my social media reflect that. And what happened was something really surprising was that it gave me so much more hope. And turning on my social media and seeing bodies like mine, fat bodies like mine, was powerful because it normalized it. It allowed me to see everyday people who looked like me or similar to me or had body types that were in keeping with not that what we are told by society is the norm and the goal. It was incredible because it just started to really normalize my body. And that really helped my relationship with my body. And that was not something I was expecting. I was simply, my intention in the beginning was get rid of the politics, get rid of the garbage, get rid of the fighting, get rid of the trolls and the comments. But what happened as I realized, okay, I've gotten rid of all that. Now I need to fill it back up. And I want to fill it up with things that I want to see amplified in the world and voices I want to hear because I want them to influence me. And I want to be influenced towards compassion and hope and all of those things that are going to help me stand up and voice my opinion and be heard on the issues that are important to me. And so that was a huge piece of my self-care. And it's about boundaries. It really is. It's about saying, no, that doesn't work for me. End of story. No, thank you. And it then, once you start practicing in a little area like your social media where it's safe, there's no accountability. Those people you unfollow, you know, I unfollow CNN or ABC News or Fox News. Well, never even follow them. Don't even go there. But they're not coming back to you and saying, we noticed you unfollowed us. So it was like a really great way to practice boundaries because in my real life, it is a bit harder to practice boundaries with the people you care about because they could come back to you and say, I have issue with this or I noticed this or whatever. But it was a way to practice that. And then the more you practice it, it's like a muscle. Then it becomes easier to do it. And I found it a lot easier to then do it in my own life. And it's about really respecting myself enough to say, I'm not letting the garbage in. I am of value. And my life is valuable. And so I will curate it as if it is a beautiful museum or art gallery, because I'm worthy and deserving of that. And in the beginning of that process, it was tricky. And I still have days, let me tell you, where I don't feel all of those positive things. But in the beginning, you start it like an affirmation. And that's what I did. I am deserving and worthy of love. And I actually have a quote, a Brené Brown quote that I have on a canvas that says, I am flawed and imperfect, but I'm worthy of love and belonging. I think that's me paraphrasing because I can't see it from where I'm sitting. And I put that right by where I sit on the couch so that when I look at the TV, I see it. And I just would repeat it over and over and over again. And in the beginning, it doesn't feel true because maybe you don't believe it is true. But if you say it enough and you start to fake it till you make it, it does start to become true. You do start to look for evidence of that in the world, the more you internalize it into your brain. Because your brain loves things that feel good and feel right and feel true. And so we need to help our bodies and brains to understand that it is true. We are worthy. We are deserving. We are absolutely entitled to set boundaries around our lives and to protect our ability to practice self-care. And so it was huge for me. And so one little thing of practicing self-care, of saying no more garbage on my social media, blossomed into this amazing thing. And for me, in my life, this journey I've been on of healing and growth and all of that, that's how it's been for me, is I take on one little thing and then all of a sudden it takes me on a detour down this path where I've learned a whole bunch of stuff that I never would have anticipated before. And so I just really encourage you to think about what garbage you're letting into your life, whether that's through social media, whether that's through relationships, whether that's through your inner critic. And that's part of the problem for me and how my brain works, is that the garbage just becomes ammunition for the inner critic to throw at me. So when my social media feed was all people who do not look like me, who were not fat bodies like mine, who were all seemingly to have it all together, not the real people, the people who curate their social media so that they look amazing and perfect. All of that is fine and great for the people for whom that is comfortable. But for me, that just became ammunition and fodder for my brain, my inner critic, to throw at me as evidence that I wasn't enough. And that is bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. And so getting rid of that. So then I gave my inner critic a new whole plethora of images and thoughts and ideas and people to follow and ideas to mull over, which shifted the thinking, which shifted my thinking. And it really quieted that inner critic down, because I don't expose myself to anything in my life that tells me my body is not good enough as it is. I don't watch diet shows. I don't talk about diet. Anytime. Now, this is my favorite thing. And if you take one thing from this podcast, I would challenge you to do this. If you're like me, you probably get some Facebook ads or Instagram or wherever you get your ads, that where you see this stuff that talk about like gyms or diet plans or weight loss programs or whatever. And every time that comes up, I always click the little dots that you give you some options, and I'll say things like, I don't want to see this ad anymore. And it'll sometimes ask you why. And I will say it's not appropriate. I will say it doesn't apply to me. That's my way of standing up and saying, no, I will not be told by you that I need to change my body. I won't. I'm not doing it anymore. It has impacted my life too negatively for too many years. No more. And it is so empowering to basically say, stick it to diet. They're trying to send me these messages and I'm full on saying, no, full stop. And it's been amazing. Now, I'm going to take a pause for a moment on that. One thing you should know about me is that I can be rather verbose. Even when I'm having a conversation with an invisible entity, as I am now with having this conversation with all of you. And so I'm going to really endeavor to try and not go on and on and on. So I really feel like I'm going to take a pause here. This topic of self-care, we're going to come back to over and over and over and over. But I really want you to consider some of the ways you can take your self-care to the next level. I just do really want to remind you, self-care is not selfish. Before we go, one more thing. It isn't selfish. We've all been on a plane and had the stewardess or the flight attendant or whatever you'd like to call them, the flight crew, that would be the better term, go through the safety demonstration. And they tell you to put on your oxygen mask first before you help the people around you. Because if you don't have any oxygen, you cannot help others. And it's a brilliant analogy, just brilliant, because if I do not take care of myself and keep myself filled up with positivity and the things that my physical body needs and that my spirit and my heart need, how on earth can I impart any of that to my students or to my partner or to my son or to my parents or to my niece? How do you do that? I don't have anything to give. And so it's just a really good reminder that you are worth it. You are deserving of love and affection and connection and joy. And you are absolutely worth taking care of yourself. You're absolutely worth the sacrifices it might take, where you feel in the beginning like you're taking from other people. But what actually you're doing is you're recharging so you have more to give to them. So I'm going to pause right there. Thank you very much for joining us. This is our second episode of Life in the Intersection, the podcast. I would really encourage you, if you would be so kind, to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. And I really am open to your feedback and interest. I have an interest in your opinion and your ideas. You can find me on my brand new website. I've been working really hard on this. At www.lifeintheintersection.com. I'm also on Instagram at lifeintheintersection. And I really encourage you to connect with me on one of those places. And I'm really looking forward to continuing this discussion. I hope you will join us next time. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.